Welcome to Zikru Daf Siman. My name is Avram Goldhar, and today Masechet Gittin, Daf Nun Tes, the fifth parak HaNizokin. The Zikru Masechet Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zikru Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the details we're going to focus on are when the next Mishnah states, Cheresh Romez V'Nirmaz, a deaf mute, can signal with his hands or head, or he can be signaled to, and indicate his agreement, and we rely on them to determine his intentions. Ben Bersera says, Kofetz V'Nikpatz V'Metaltwin, he may even mouth, or one may mouth to him, regarding transactions of movable items. Apa'otos, regarding young children, Mikochan Mikoch U'Mimkram Mimkram Metaltwin, their purchases are valid purchases, and their sales are valid sales with regard to Metaltwin. The Gemara records three opinions about the minimum age for children's transactions to be valid, between 6 and 10 years old, and says there's no disagreement. Every child according to his sharpness. Rabbi Yochanan explains that the rabbis enacted that his transactions are valid mishum kedei chayav because of his critical needs to enable him to sell his property and purchase food and other essentials. Abaya asks if a child may give a gift. Rashi explains that although it's not a direct source of his needs, a gift is sometimes given in exchange for favors. Rav Yemer says it's not valid, and Marba Ravashi says it is. Rav Mordechai testified that Ravashi also ruled that the gift is valid. Point number two, the next Mishnah lists numerous laws enacted to promote harmony. The first is Kohen Korah Rishon. A Kohen reads first from the Torah, Vacharav Levi, Vacharav Yisrael, and after him, a Levi, and after him, a Yisrael, Bifnei Darchei Shalom, to promote harmony. Several Amoraim offer sources for this order, and a Braisa Darshan is referring to a Kohen, V'kidashto, and you shall sanctify him. L'kol davar shebekedusha, for every matter of kedusha. L'ptoach Rishon, to open a gathering by speaking first. L'varech Rishon, to make a bracha first at a meal. V'litomani yafe Rishon, and to take a preferred portion of food first. Abaya asks Rav Yosef that the order appears to be daraisa and not for Darchei Shalom. Although Rav Yosef answered that it is indeed daraisa, but for the purpose of Darchei Shalom, Abai countered that this is true for the entire Torah, as it says, Darachei Darchei Noam, V'chon Nisivoseh Shalom, its ways are pleasantness, and all its paths are peaceful. He therefore explains that the mission is teaching that although generally, such as by a meal, one may relinquish various honors to prominent guests, a Kohen may not honor a non-Kohen by giving him his aliyah because of Darchei Shalom. And point number three, Abai cited a tradition. Ein sham kohen nispar do chavila. If there's no kohen present, the bundle is unraveled. Rashi explains this means that a Levi does not read from the Torah at all, or alternatively, that he does not have precedence over a Yisrael. He also said, Ein sham Levi kore kohen. If there's no Levi, a kohen reads in his place. The Gemara asked, but Rabbi Yochanan said, Kohen achar kohen lo yikra. A kohen cannot read after another kohen, mishum pagam v'shal rishon, because of the potential discrediting of the first kohen's lineage. Because when the second kohen reads, people will suspect the first was discovered not to be a legitimate kohen. Levi achar Levi lo yikra. A Levi cannot read after a Levi, mishum pagam shneim, because of the potential discrediting of both their lineages. People will suspect one was found not to be a Levi, but will not know which. How then can Abai allow a kohen to read after the first kohen? The Gemara explains that Abai meant the original Kohen reads again, which is of no concern. The Gemara analyzes Rabbi Yochanan's statement, explaining why regarding Levim, the concern affects both of them, whereas by Kohanim, it only affects the first Kohen. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, Cheresh Romez V'Nirmaz, a deaf mute can signal with his hands or head, or he can be signaled to and indicate his agreement, and we rely on them to determine his intentions. Ben Bersera says, Kofetz V'Nikpatz V'Metaltwin, he may even mouth, or one may mouth to him, regarding transactions of movable items. Apa'otos, regarding young children, Mikochan Mikoch U'Mimkram Mimkram Metaltwin, their purchases are valid purchases, and their sales are valid sales with regard to Metaltwin. The Gemara records three opinions about the minimum age for children's transactions to be valid, between 6 and 10 years old, and says there's no disagreement. Every child according to his sharpness. Rabbi Yochanan explains that the rabbis enacted that his transactions are valid mishum kedei chayav because of his critical needs to enable him to sell his property and purchase food and other essentials. Abaya asks if a child may give a gift. Rashi explains that although it's not a direct source of his needs, a gift is sometimes given in exchange for favors. Rav Yemer says it's not valid, and Marba Ravashi says it is. Rav Mordechai testified that Ravashi also ruled that the gift is valid. Point number two, the next Mishnah lists numerous laws enacted to promote harmony. The first is Kohen Korah Rishon. A Kohen reads first from the Torah, Vacharav Levi, Vacharav Yisrael, and after him, a Levi, and after him, a Yisrael, Bifnei Darchei Shalom, to promote harmony. Several Amoraim offer sources for this order, and a Braisa Darshan is referring to a Kohen, V'kidashto, and you shall sanctify him. L'kol davar shebekedusha, for every matter of kedusha. L'ptoach Rishon, to open a gathering by speaking first. L'varech Rishon, to make a bracha first at a meal. V'litomani yafe Rishon, and to take a preferred portion of food first. Abaya asks Rav Yosef that the order appears to be daraisa and not for Darchei Shalom. Although Rav Yosef answered that it is indeed Doraisa, but for the purpose of Darchei Shalom, Abai counted that this is true for the entire Torah, as it says, Darachei Darchei Noam, Uchon Nisivoseh Shalom, its ways are pleasantness, and all its paths are peaceful. He therefore explains that the Mishnah is teaching that although generally, such as by a meal, one may relinquish various honors to prominent guests, a Kohen may not honor a non-Kohen by giving him his aliyah because of Darchei Shalom. And point number three, Abai cited a tradition. Ein sham kohen nispar del chavila. If there's no kohen present, the bundle is unraveled. Rashi explains this means that a Levi does not read from the Torah at all, or alternatively, that he does not have precedence over a Yisrael. He also said, Ein sham Levi kore kohen. If there's no Levi, a kohen reads in his place. The Gemara asked, but Rabbi Yochanan said, Kohen acher kohen lo yikra. A kohen cannot read after another kohen, mishum pagam shel rishon, because of the potential discrediting of the first kohen's lineage. Because when the second kohen reads, people will suspect the first was discovered not to be a legitimate kohen. Levi acher Levi lo yikra. A Levi cannot read after a Levi, mishum pagam shneim, because of the potential discrediting of both their lineages. People will suspect one was found not to be a Levi, but will not know which. How then can Abai allow a kohen to read after the first kohen? The Gemara explains that Abai meant the original Kohen reads again, which is of no concern. The Gemara analyzes Rabbi Yochanan's statement, explaining why regarding Levim, the concern affects both of them, whereas by Kohanim, it only affects the first Kohen. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Nun test, and this Simur was suggested to us by Binyamin Mishal from Boker Raton and by Eitan Gavren. They both suggested that Nun test is a knight in shining armor. So here goes. The knight who purchased shining green armor from a sharp six-year-old was a Kohen and insisted on getting the first aliyah, Mifnei Darchei Shalom, and got the second aliyah too because there was no Levi in Shul. Once again, slow motion. The knight, that must be learned off Nun Tes. The knight who purchased shining green armor from a sharp six-year-old, which reminds us, the Gemara records three opinions about the minimum age for children's transactions to be valid between 6 and 10 years old, and says there's no disagreement, kol chad v'chad lifei churfei, every child according to his sharpness. So, the knight who purchased shining green armor from a sharp six-year-old was a Kohen and insisted on getting the first aliyah, mifnei darchei shalom, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists numerous laws enacted to promote harmony. The first is Kohen Korah Rishon, a Kohen reads first from the Torah, V'acharav Levi, V'acharav Yisrael, and after him a Levi, and after him a Yisrael, Bifnei Darkei Shalom, to promote harmony. Several Amoraim offer sources for this order, and a Braisa Darshans relating to a Kohen, V'kidashto, and you shall sanctify him, L'kol Davrshah B'kadusha, for every matter of Kadusha, to open a gathering by speaking first, to make a bracha first at a meal, and to take her preferred portion of food first. So, the knight who purchased shining green armor from a sharp six-year-old was a Kohen, and insisted on getting the first Aliyah, Bifnei Darkei Shalom, and got the second aliyah too, because there was no Levi in Shul, which reminds us Abai had a tradition regarding the procedure when a Kohen or Levi is not present. If there's no Levi, a Kohen reads in his place. So once again, the knight who purchased shining green armor from a sharp six-year-old was a Kohen and insisted on getting the first aliyah, Bifnei Darchei Shalom, and got the second aliyah too, because there was no Levi in Shul. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Chazara. Daf Nun Hey. So the Simur Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The stolen chattis thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs, that must be learned Daf Nun Hey, speed limit sign of 55. The stolen chattis thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by Sad Kohanim, which reminds us Yochan ben Gugudah taught, V'chattis ha-gazul shol nodu l'rabim, concerning a stolen chattis, meaning a stolen animal, which the thief designated as a chattis, which is not publicly known to have been stolen, shehi mechaperes mifnei tikkun ha-mizbech, that it atones for the thief's chattis obligation for the benefit of the mizbech. Ula says, biblically speaking, whether it was known or not, it doesn't atone for the thief, because yeush kedid lokani, the owner's despair alone, does not acquire ownership of the thief. Nevertheless, the rabbis instituted that where the stolen status of the animal is unknown, it atones for the thief's obligation, so that the Kohanim should not be saddened by the later discovery that they ate illegitimate sacrificial meat, meaning chum brought as a carbon. This is called tikkun ha-mizbech, the benefit of the mizbech, because Kohanim would hesitate in the future to bring karbonis. Rav Yehuda brings a different explanation. So the stolen chattis thief who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad Kohanim stopped to shech the carbon outside the mikdash, unaware he'll be chayiv karis by rabbinic decree, which reminds us Rabbi challenged Ula from a brisa which teaches about a stolen animal which the thief was makdish. If he shechted it outside the mikdash, in such a case, anish karis, he's liable to karis. This proves that yeush is sufficient for the thief to own and be makdish the animal, for otherwise it wouldn't be karis for shechting outside the mikdash. Rav Shivzi answered, it means karis medivrehim. It's karis by rabbinical decree. Rav explained that the karis was engendered due to a rabbinical decree. The rabbis place it in the thief's possession using the principle of hefker based in hefker, so you should be chai for karis for shachting it outside the mikdash. So the stolen chatas thief, who got hungry whizzing past green speed limit signs being held by sad kohanim, stopped to shech the carbon outside the mikdash, unaware he'll be chai of karis by rabbinical decree, and that he was standing on land being sold by a sikrikon who had taken it from a Jew, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses purchasing land from a sikrikon and an idolater who sees land from a Jew. Daf Nun Vav. So the Zimmer Daf Nun Vav is a shusher in shul going nu. So here goes. The shusher in shul, that must mean we're in Daf Nun Vav. The shusher in shul on Tisha B'Av, who shushed everybody with his long green finger so they could carefully listen to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, which reminds us the following three blocks discuss the Churban and Bai Sheni in detail, beginning with the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So the shusher in shul on Tisha B'Av, who shushed everybody with his long green finger so they could carefully listen to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and then hear the shir on Rabbi Yochanan's three requests from Vespasian, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a background behind Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's three requests of Vespasian of Tenli Yavne v'chacham Echa, grant me Yavne and its sages to be spared, the line of Rabbi Gamliel, the eventual Nasi from David's line, and doctors secure Rabbi Tzadok from his years of fasting. Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Kiva declared about him, Hashem turns wise men backwards and makes their intelligence foolish. He should have said to leave them this time and spare Yerushalayim. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yochanan was afraid that Vespasian would not grant him anything. So the shusher in shul on Tisha B'Av, who shushed everybody with his long green finger so they could carefully listen to the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and then hear the shir on Rabbi Yochanan's three requests from Vespasian, was complimented by the rabbi, who said that the shush's shush was so loud it would have stopped the gnat picking away at Titus's brain, which reminds us, the Gemara describes what occurred when Titus was sent in Vespasian's place. He did despicable things in the Kodesh Kodashim and was eventually punished by the tiny gnat who entered his nose and picked at his brain for 7 years. Once he passed a smith hammering, and the gnat stopped. For the next 3 days, he had a smith banging in his presence until the gnat became accustomed to the sound and returned. The Gemara describes its great size when Titus died. Alright, so now we go to a Simmer Daf Nun Zayin, and our standard Simmer is a nose, and we often use a puppet with a long nose. So here goes. The puppet show on the Churban featured a convert pulling three green puppets with long noses. Puppets with long noses? That must be Simmer Daf Nun Zayin. The puppet show on the Churban featured a convert pulling three green puppets with long noses out of graves, which reminds the Gemara relates how Uncas raised his uncle Titus, Bilam, and a Jewish sinner from the dead, and asked if he should convert, and their various responses. So the puppet show on the Churban featured a convert pulling three green puppets with long noses out of graves, who then suspended them over what looked like boiling blood, which reminds us, the Gemara relates what happened when Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's general, found the blood of Zechariah bubbling on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. So the puppet show on the Churban featured a convert pulling three green puppets with long noses out of graves, who then suspended them over what looked like boiling blood, just as a righteous mother holding a picture of her seven sons jumped off her rooftop. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings the incident of the woman and her seven sons who were brought before Caesar and refused to worship an idol. Daf Nun Ches. So the Simmer Daf Nun Ches is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. So here goes. The zoo with the green cage. Zoo with the green cage. That must be one Daf Nun Ches. Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper. The zoo with the green cage containing a very sad brother and sister who were slaves, which reminds us, the Gemara relates the tragic story of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha's beautiful son and daughter who were taken as slaves and brought together. So, the zoo with the green cage containing a very sad brother and sister who were slaves, which was purchased from a sikrikon and then from Noah Goldberg, the owner, who voluntarily wrote the Bayer Ashtar, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Nunhei Amud Beis taught that initially one who bought land from a sikrikon and then purchased it from the owner in an effort to have the owner legitimize the sale from the sikrikon, the sale is void and the land must be returned. Rav says, the only taught is where the owner told the purchaser, go make a chazakah and acquire it, of a Ashtar Kana, but if the owner gave him a document of sale, he acquires it. Rashi explains that the owner's voluntarily writing a shtar indicates his sincere agreement to the sale. Shmuel says, "Af b'shtar namil kan." Even with the document, he doesn't acquire it ad sheyichtov lo achrayis, unless he writes for the purchaser that he accepts responsibility to compensate him if the owner's creditor collects it. So the zoo with the green cage containing a very sad brother and sister who were slaves, which was purchased from a sikrikon and then from Noah Goldberg, the owner, who voluntarily wrote the buyer a shtar, was returned to Noah Goldberg when he was informed that the law of sikrikon does not apply when the land is stolen without cause. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Nunhei Amud Beis taught that a later court ruled that one who purchases land which remained with the sikrikon for 12 months pays one quarter to the owner and may keep the land. A brisa qualifies as haba machmas chov. If an idolater comes to seize a Jew's land as payment for a debt, umachmas amparus, or a seizure without any cause, embo mishum sikrikon. The law sikrikon does not apply. Rather, the land is returned to the owner for free. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. number one. Which stuff do you want about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's three requests from Vespasian? That's on Daf Nunvav. Good number two. Which do you want about the procedure for Aliyahs when a Kohen or Levi is not present? That's on Daf Nuntas. Good number three. Which stuff do you want, according to Rav, if the owner of the field wrote a shtar to the one who bought his field from a Sikri Kohen, the sale is valid? That's on Daf Nunches. Good number four. Which stuff do you want about Onkelos raising his uncle Titus, Bilam, and a Jewish sinner from the dead and asking if he should convert? That's on Daf Nunzai. Good number five. Which stuff do you have the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa? That's on Daf Nunvav. Good number six. Which stuff do you have the story of Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha's beautiful son and daughter who were bought as slaves and brought together? That's on Daf Nunches. Good number seven. Which stuff do you learn about Nebuzaradan discovering the blood of Zechariah on the floor of the base of Mikdash? That's on Daf Nunzain. Good number eight. Which stuff do you learn about the order of Aliyos to promote Darkei Shalom? That's on Daf Nuntes. Good number nine. Which stuff do you learn about the purchases and sales of Paotos, young children? That's on Daf Nuntas. Good. And number 10. Which of the one that the land is returned to the owner if the Sikri Kohen took the land as payment of a debt or seized it without cause? That's on Daf Nunches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Yoram Goldhar Mizichu wishing you a great day and great learning.